Welcome to day two of Build 2017. Hopefully, you guys had a good time in the keynote this morning. I know there were some pretty fun surprises in there for me. The photo remix demo was pretty cool with the flaming soccer ball and all that. Pretty exciting stuff. We're here, and hopefully, you're here to hear about. We're here to talk about Microsoft Edge. Specifically, we want to talk about what's new and what's next for both the browser and the web platform. So we're going to have two parts of this talk. My colleague Nadia from the Edge app team.
Good morning, everyone.
Yep. And myself, Kyle Pflug from the web platform team. We're going to talk about what's new in the Windows 10 Creators Update, both the web platform features that are new and some of the features in the application that are new. And then we'll go into the second half where we'll talk about what's next and what's coming, both for 2017 and really beyond. So some of the stuff we're going to show you is a little bit longer lead, but a lot of the stuff we'll show you is coming in the Windows 10 Fall Creators Update that was just announced this morning. So I'm going to dive right in and talk about what's new with Microsoft Edge, with the web platform and the Windows 10 Creators Update. And really, when we talk about this, we want to frame it in terms of our priorities over the last 12 months. So to do that, I think it's helpful to flash back to where we were 12 months ago at Build 2016. Some of you attended a very similar talk from my colleague Charles. And we talked a lot about our priorities and what we were shipping in that release and the anniversary update in terms of really Microsoft Edge making the shift from being brand new to really meeting expectations and being a browser we're proud to say is what we believe is the best browser on Windows 10. And so where we are 12 months later, I think it's fair to say we're not the new kid on the block anymore, right? So we don't want to talk about meeting basic expectations. We really want to talk about how we're shifting gears to kind of move to surprising people with delightful new features, with new experiences, and with new capabilities that customers haven't seen on the web before. So to do that, I'll talk about our four priorities that we've been focused on over the course of the last 12 months. So we've shipped two major releases in the last 12 months. And the biggest priority we focused on is fundamentals. Better fundamentals, and this is really performance, power efficiency, and security. The next area we focused on is new APIs for web and web app developers. So these are the capabilities in the web platform that let you build compelling new experiences for your customers. We also have a sustained focus on class-leading accessibility. You saw some focus on this from Satya in the keynote yesterday. We'll talk a little bit more about how this applies to Edge and the web platform. And then finally, Nadia is going to show you some innovative new features in the browser that make browsing more productive and really help reduce the overhead and the stress of the web for our customers. So I'm going to dive right in talking about better fundamentals: performance, power efficiency, and security. And when we talk about performance, what we're really talking about in Edge and our big focus for this release has been dramatically improved responsiveness. So we want to make sure we're not just focusing on performance in terms of arbitrary JavaScript execution speeds, trying to measure our performance in terms of what's going on under the hood, but actually what's perceived to the user when you visit a web page and there's a lot going on and you just want to get to your article, read your article, make sure your clicks are recognized. So we focused in this release on three areas. The first is we have a new prioritized input queue for the JavaScript event loop. And what this means really is that the user input should always be at the front of the line when it comes to the work the browser has to do. And really, the browser and the web is fundamentally still pretty single-threaded today. And there are exceptions to that. Microsoft Edge has some pretty advanced independent rendering for a lot of content. But ultimately, a lot of what goes on the web is happening on the same UI thread. And so in the Creators Update, we have a whole new input queue that makes sure that the user's input goes to the front of that line. So if you're clicking on a link, that click should get registered before the advertisements get shuffled around the page or whatever else is going on. And we'll show you some pretty compelling demos of how that works in practice. The next area we focused on is componentizing the browser UI. So we've componentized the browser UI separately from the page content to isolate the input and the reliability of each of those. And what this means in practice is a busy page should never mean you can't switch tabs or open a new tab. A busy page should never slow down the browser frame. So that's some pretty impactful work. And when you combine that with what we've done in the event loop, this really helps make sure the user input to the browser itself, to window operations, is prioritized. And then finally, we've had a substantial years-long refactoring of the DOM tree in Microsoft Edge that's really focused on optimizing for real-world performance on the web. And so when we talk about the work here, this is really kind of rebuilding the airplane in flight. This has been about a three-year project that we're just substantially completing in the Windows 10 Creators Update. And the performance impact of this work is really focused on real-world performance. So this isn't about getting an arbitrary benchmark score higher. But there is a benchmark you may be familiar with called Speedometer. And Speedometer is really focused on measuring real-world page performance and lots of DOM operations. And it's focused specifically on doing this testing with frameworks that are actually used on the web. So there are frameworks like React and jQuery and Angular that are used in this benchmark. And then it assigns a score based on the execution time for this test. So in the past, IE has not been doing really well in this benchmark. And if we look at this chart, you'll see it's relatively flat. There's a small incline. But really, over the last two releases in the 12 months, we're super proud to say we've improved our score on Speedometer more than twofold. Most of that is in the last release in the creator's update, which is Edge 15. And this is really, this is not us saying, you know, and now we're done with Speedometer. This is something we're really continuing to hit the gas on. And we really care about making sure real-world performance on these sites is a priority. So to give you an example of what that looks like in practice, here's a video we recorded. We've got two identical Surface Pro devices, and we recorded video, one on Edge 14, which is the anniversary update, and one on Edge 15, which is the creator's update. And the video on the left, so we built this fake news site. This is a fake news site. That's an important distinction. So we built this site where there's all kind. This is basically simulating a busy web page. And we're trying to click this link, but the site really wants to load in these advertisements and shuffle elements around on the page. And maybe it's trying to figure out if the advertisements are in view or not. And you may be familiar with the scenario. You're just trying to click that link, and the page is jumping around under you, and you never get to your article. So if we look at the exact same site, the exact same code on Edge 15, we'll load the site, and you go and you click that headline, and you go get to your article. You don't have to wait for the advertisements to pop in. You don't have to wait for content to shuffle around. So that's really a substantial improvement to the user experience of the site. And it may not necessarily show up on a JavaScript benchmark, but it shows up dramatically in the real world. The next area I'd like to talk about is power efficiency. So when we talk about fundamentals, one of the things that's really important to us and has been for years is making sure we respect the battery and respect the customer's device. So we've done three things to really take power efficiency to the next level in the creator's update. The first of these is making sure that HTML5 content is always preferred and prioritized over Flash content. So in the Windows 10 anniversary update, which is Edge 14, we introduced some mechanisms to automatically pause Flash content on the page. But in Edge 15, we've really taken this further, and we actually won't load Flash until the user explicitly chooses to invoke it. So what this means is the browser presents itself to the web page as not having Flash installed, and that results in getting a HTML5 experience, which is standards compliant. It's usually more performant and higher quality, and it's much easier on the battery. And it's not bad for security either. We've also improved the efficiency for background tabs and iframes. So what we're talking about here is really making sure that JavaScript timers that are running in background tabs that are out of sight, or iframes that aren't in view, or animations that are being calculated that the user can't even see, aren't spinning up a bunch of CPU cycles that are going to eat your battery while you're not benefiting from them in any way. And then finally, we've improved hit testing for ad-heavy pages and pages that do things like infinite scrolling or a lot of analytics. So it's very common for pages to want to know, is this advertisement in view? Are you at the bottom of this page? Should I load in the next set of content? And we actually see pages in the real world that are doing hit testing every frame, 60 frames per second. And that, you can imagine, really eats up your battery. So we've really done a lot of throttling to make sure that this functionality still works, but that we do it in a more battery-friendly way. And the impact of this, in the Windows 10 Creators Update, we have a test where we instrument a number of Surface Books. So we have identical Surface Books that are instrumented to measure the actual real-world power consumption of the browser. So we measure the power consumption in milliwatts on the CPU, the GPU, and Wi-Fi, which are the three components that the browser actually impacts. And what we find is in a simulated test where we use WebDriver to drive the browser across a multi-tab scenario, doing background audio and background video and a number of tab operations, clicking links, exactly what you'd expect from a customer using the browser, Microsoft Edge actually uses 31% less power than Google Chrome and up to 44% less power than Firefox on the exact same script on the exact same sites. This is a pretty dramatic improvement. Over the course of a day, this amounts to hours of more battery life, more browsing. Which is great if you're a developer who owns a website. This is hours more time for people to use your services. If you're interested in this test, the URL at the bottom of the screen here, akams/edgebattery. The test is open source. It's WebDriver. You can install it and run it on your own devices. So this is really something we're passionate about making sure is reproducible, is open, and is credible. So the last area I'd like to focus on is security. Robust security is obviously important to the browser. So there's a couple areas we've been focused on in the Creators Update to really make sure that Microsoft Edge is a safe browser for our customers. The first is really making sure that we break the most universal primitive of browser exploits, which is the ability to exploit memory safety vulnerabilities. So we have two features in the Creators Update, Code Integrity Guard and Arbitrary Code Guard, which are designed to protect against arbitrary code execution. Code Integrity Guard ensures that only properly signed code can be loaded into the browser, and arbitrary code prevents that code from being dynamically generated or modified on the fly. We also want to decrease the potential attack surface, so we have dramatically improved the resiliency of sandboxes. So Microsoft Edge has always been sandboxed in a Windows 10 App Container sandbox. In the Creators Update, we've custom-tuned that sandbox to match the browser specifically. So what we actually did is we stripped away all the default capabilities that come with the Windows 10 App Container, and then we added back only the capabilities that are functionally necessary for the browser to work. And so what this looks like in practice is essentially shrink-wrapping the sandbox around the browser. So it's a dramatic reduction in the attack surface for the browser. I should qualify that the reason that every app doesn't get that is because it's a ton of work. And so we have to go through and really make sure the sandbox is specifically tailored to the browser, and that's something that's just not credible for every developer to do. Finally, we've taken the Chakra to JIT out of process, and we've disabled Flash by default, as I mentioned. And so this really means, you know, both of these get, A, they're out of process, they get their own tuned sandbox, and not loading Flash by default on sites is just that much less opportunity for out-of-date versions to have vulnerabilities. So that's fundamentals. The next area I'd like to focus on that may be important to many of you in the room who are building web experiences is new APIs and new capabilities for web and web app developers in Edge 15. And the first thing I'd like to focus on is extension APIs. So we actually introduced extensions in Edge 14, and they were in preview last year when we met at Build. And we've actually added a couple new APIs that are really in high demand and simplified the process for submitting new extensions to the store. So in particular, we've added APIs including native messaging to UWP apps, which is a really common request, and it's necessary for some scenarios like password management. We've also improved compatibility with the Chrome manifest keys and Chrome APIs, so it's easier than ever to port an extension from Chrome to Edge. And the impact of that is pretty great. We had about 12 extensions in the store when we launched last year, and we're happy to say that we've tripled the number of extensions available in the Edge in the Windows Store for Microsoft Edge in the last 12 months. And more importantly, it's easier than ever for you to get started if you want to add your own extensions to the store. So if you want to go to aka.ms/edge-extensions, we've got a great getting started guide there where we show all the APIs we support. You can also see our roadmap for any APIs we don't support. And there's a form where you can submit your own extension to the Windows Store, and we'll work together with you to make sure that all the policy and quality requirements are met. But this basically means it's easier than ever to get started, and we'd love to work with you on that. If you're interested in submitting an extension to the store and you have questions, come find us at the Microsoft Edge booth in the Expo Hall. We'd be happy to talk to you in more detail. So in addition, obviously, to the extension APIs, there's a whole web platform in Microsoft Edge, and there's all kinds of new web platform APIs for modern experiences on the web. There's too many to cover here in a lot of detail, but I'd like to introduce a few that we're really passionate about. So the Payment Request API is new in Edge 15. This allows you to simplify web payments using a consistent checkout process that works together with the browser or the payment app to roam the user's payment information, and this is standardized across browsers. CSS custom properties, this is a way to use CSS variables in your code without using a preprocessor. Intersection observers, so we talked about a lot of those pages that do expensive HID testing with advertisements. This is a standardized way to do that in partnership with the browser, so ultimately we can move away from having the need to mitigate those sites and just let them do it in a standardized way. Brotli, this is a new HTTP content encoding method. It has up to 20% better compression and decompression compression ratios at the same compression and decompression speeds as other algorithms like Deflate. WebVR, this is pretty self-explanatory. It's VR on the web. This is really exciting because it's interoperable. It works across browsers. In Microsoft Edge, it works with Windows Mixed Reality, and we'll show you a demo of that in a moment here. WebRTC 1.0, so this complements the existing ORTC implementation in Microsoft Edge, and this lets you do interoperable real-time communication across browsers, even across platforms. So you can crawl Chrome on Mac from Edge on Windows or an iOS device and so forth. And there's tons more. So I can't go into these in a ton of detail, but we've got a whole bunch of new standards supported in the in Edge 15 in the Creators Update. If you want to learn more about all these in detail, the Edge Dev Guide URL at the bottom of the screen, akams/edge-dev-guide, is your friend, or feel free to just go to our website, edge.ms, and there's tons of detail there. I'd like to focus on these in a little bit more detail, specifically Payment Request API. So Payment Request API is a really exciting API that lets you build consistent and standardized checkout experiences on your sites and in your apps. This is fantastic because ultimately one of the biggest problems with checkout on the web is cart abandonment. If you're building your own checkout experience and your customer has to go get their credit card or create an account and they have to do that through a different UI every time, this can result in people just giving up halfway through. And I know I'm likely to give up if somebody asks me for my credit card number and my wallet's downstairs. So the Payment Request API works together with a payment app. And in this case, the payment app is Microsoft Edge. And we can store your payment information that's associated with your Microsoft account and provide that to the website so you can check out securely using the browser using saved payment information. This is a W3C standard. It's been implemented in Chrome for Android and Microsoft Edge, and it's coming to other browsers soon. But it's also standardized across Microsoft platforms. So in addition to Microsoft Edge, the same API works in UWP apps on Windows, apps using the desktop bridge, as well as the bot framework. So this is a great API. I mean, it really is. This is a solution to checkout in a lot of platforms, and it's only going to get better from here. So I'm going to show you a quick demo of the Payment Request API in practice. All right. So I have a page. This is just a simple page running locally on my device here that we built to show off the Payment Request API. And I'm shopping for a pair of shoes. I'm a little nervous that these shoes aren't going to fit me, but we'll try it out and we'll see how they go. So you see we just have a simple checkout page here, and if I click the checkout button, this is going to prompt the browser to present the payment UI. So up comes the UI, and this is actually going to roam the payment information down from my Microsoft account. So I can choose from the credit card saved on my account, I can choose from my shipping address saved on my account, and then I can choose shipping options, so there's no rush shipping or standard shipping and so on. When I click pay, it's simply going to prompt me to confirm the card number. Don't tell anyone my CVV here. And that's it. The payment details, oops, I have to enter my password. The payment details are then sent back to the site owner, and they can use it's sent as a JSON object that they can use to process the payment with the payment provider. So to show a little bit more how this works under the hood, I'm going to just pop open the developer tools for a second. And we've got the Payment Request API JS file here. And you can see the key parameters to the Payment Request API are really there's a method data option or parameter, which I've lost. So there's a method data parameter. This is where you define the approved payment methods, basically, that you accept. So we support basic card authentication in Microsoft Edge. And then you put the supported networks, so Visa, MasterCard, et cetera. There's also a details parameter where you'd put summary level detail about the payment, so the subtotal, the tax, and so on. Oh, sorry, I can zoom in on this for you. The details parameter where you'd put the summary level information for the payment. And then there's an option parameter, and that's where you'd put in essentially any information that the customer needs to return to the merchant about the payment. So what type of shipping they'd like, loyalty numbers, that sort of thing. So I'm really nervous. I'm leaving for a trip on Saturday. I'm a little concerned that these size 6 shoes aren't going to work out. So I'm not sure. I don't think this will work in a real site, but I'm going to add a new shipping option here so it gets to me faster. So I've added ludicrous speed shipping. I'm willing to pay $70 to get these shoes today. So I can make sure if I need to order a size up, I can do that. So we'll see when I go check out. And now, oh, I think I closed the developer tools too soon. Let me re-add my ludicrous speed shipping. So now when I check out, I have the option to get the shoes shipped to me at ludicrous speed for $70, and I'm good to go. So that's really just a short overview of the Payment Request API. Ultimately, you know, to do this more justice, I encourage you to check out. We have a recorded session on Payment Request. This covers Payment Request and Edge, as well as UWP, bots, and the desktop bridge. You can see that session on Channel 9. It's session 4055 with my colleagues Molly, Stan, and Jonathan. So that's Payment Request. The next feature I'd like to show just a quick glimpse of is WebVR. WebVR is an exciting feature because it really democratizes the opportunity to build immersive mixed reality experiences on the web. You can build these using simple frameworks that are available, like Babylon.js from Microsoft or A-Frame from Mozilla, which lets you build VR scenes using just HTML. So I'm going to show you a quick demo of WebVR running in a Babylon.js scene here. So I actually don't have a Windows Mixed Reality headset available with me today, unfortunately. But what's great about Windows 10 and WebVR or Mixed Reality on Windows 10 is you can actually simulate a Mixed Reality headset using the Mixed Reality portal. So if I just pop over to the Mixed Reality portal and click Simulation On, This is actually going to tell Microsoft Edge that there is a headset present. So as far as the browser is concerned, this is an actual real mixed reality headset connected. So it'll behave exactly as though I was connected to a mixed reality device. We support the WebVR 1.1 API. So I'm going to go to this page, which is built for WebVR. And if I rerun, we'll actually see, instead of having just a WebGL scene, it's going to load the two lenses because it's going to detect that I have a mixed reality device connected. So this may be easier if I collapse the code here a little bit. So you can see I've got the two lenses of the headset. Microsoft Edge thinks there's a headset connected, and I can move around the scene as though I were actually wearing the headset. And then that movement is actually mirrored directly back. Oops, sorry. That movement is mirrored directly back to the mixed reality portal. So for the purposes of building your experience, you can use the mixed reality portal as though you were wearing a headset, and the movement and simulated controllers are translated back to the browser. So again, WebVR is a huge topic. We can't really do it justice in just a short session here. So there is a pre-recorded session I'd encourage you to check out on mixed reality and WebVR, Microsoft Edge. It's called WebVR, Adding VR to Your Websites and Apps from my colleagues David and Etienne. And that's online on Channel 9 now if you'd like to learn more about that. So that's two small features, and there's a whole bunch of new features available in Microsoft in Edge 15 in the Creators Update. What's the impact of that? There's not really any one good way to measure the standards compliance of a browser or how well we adhere to the specification. But what there is HTML5 test, which is a good way to get a sense of the momentum of browsers and how essentially the number of features implemented over time. So when we were here 12 months ago, Microsoft Edge 14 had a score of about 433 on HTML5 test. And we're excited to say with Edge 15, which is the features on by default, not including features behind a flag, the score is up to 473. And what we want to emphasize here, you know, this isn't about declaring victory or any one score being the best. What we're really trying to focus on is the fact that we have a lot of great momentum here. We're excited to keep hitting the gas. And most importantly, these features are broadly interoperable. Browsers are all accelerating at a great rate, and the potential for the web platform is really unprecedented. So, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that can mean to your experiences when we talk about progressive web apps at the end of the talk. So finally, in terms of fundamentals, I'd like to focus on accessibility and inclusive design. And we're passionate about this at Microsoft. I mean, Satya mentioned it in the keynote yesterday. Microsoft's mission statement is to empower every person on the planet to achieve more. And we talk about every person on the planet. That includes everyone of every ability, not just people who are like you. And in fact, on the Microsoft Edge team, our mission statement is the web should just work for everyone. And this is very similar to the company's mission statement. When we talk about for everyone, the web should just work for everyone of every ability. And we're so passionate about this, we actually painted it on the walls in Building 115 in our office there. The web should work for everyone. So to make this a reality, we introduced an all-new accessibility architecture in Edge 14 with the Windows 10 Creators Update. This included native support for UI automation, which was the first time that came to Microsoft Edge. And this really allowed us to build a credible accessibility architecture that worked with assistive technology for Microsoft Edge. In the Windows 10 Creators Update in Edge 15, we've improved support for working with the text content of the site and building on top of that all-new accessibility architecture. This is using the UIA text pattern API. So previously, our support for UIA text pattern was not as good as it could have been. And we've dramatically improved that so you get the output to an assistive technology that you'd expect. We've also improved support for common web accessibility patterns. So this is things like referencing a hidden element with an accessible name, which previously didn't work in Microsoft Edge, but was a common accessibility pattern on the web that we've dramatically improved support for. So the best way we have to measure this work, and we're really proud of this, is we're actually the first and the only browser to score a perfect 100% on the HTML5 accessibility benchmark. This is at html5accessibility.com, and you can see everything that's tested in that benchmark if you go to the URL there. But the biggest thing I want to emphasize when we talk about this benchmark is that 100% isn't good enough for us, and we're not declaring victory and saying accessibility investments are over. This is an ongoing investment for Microsoft, including the Microsoft Edge team. We have a large number of people working on this every day, and we're passionate about continuing to improve the real-world support for assistive technologies beyond just any arbitrary score. So that's what I have to say about the platform in the Windows 10 Creators Update. And before we shift gears to talking about what's coming, I'd like to ask you to change hats for a moment. And we're going to look at some features that are more consumer-focused. So these aren't web platform experiences, but I think even as developers, these are things we should care about. And there's really two reasons for that. And the first is I suspect that everyone in this room probably uses a web browser from time to time. And it may not be Microsoft Edge, but I think that you'll be really interested in some of the things we have to show you. The second reason is really the experiences you're building on the web or in web apps. Ultimately, Microsoft Edge is the platform for those experiences. And so we want to make sure we're presenting your experiences in the most beautiful and functional light possible. So we really care about making sure that Microsoft Edge showcases your sites and showcases your apps well. So to show you a little bit more about what we've done there, I'm going to turn the floor over to my colleague Nadia. She's going to show you some new features in Microsoft Edge to make the browser more productive.
Thank you, Carl. Good morning, everyone. My name is Nadia Fortini. I'm a program manager working on Microsoft Edge. Today, I will present the great features we delivered as part of the Windows Creators Update. And later, I will tell you about the upcoming visual update that will be built on top of the new Microsoft Fluent Design System. Microsoft Edge is designed to be the best performing browser on Windows 10. We've made improvements for a faster, safer browsing experience with a better battery life. And with the Windows Creators Update, the browser keeps getting better with a whole suite of tab management features, new extension, a new bookstore, and reading experience. First, let me tell you about the research we conducted to better understand how people today browse the web and how do they stay organized. What we found out is that most people perceive themselves as heavy tab users, although in average they have only 4 to 6 tabs open. But it's not uncommon for some people to have 20 or more tabs open at one time. Let's face it, the browser can be a tab nightmare. Life is busy, hectic, and full of distractions, and the web is no different. When you start a search, Bing returns many results. You click on a link and then another one, and then very soon you have many tabs open. The problem comes when you have to switch to a different task or you have to move away from your device. At that specific moment, most people are afraid. They are afraid of losing their progress. Well, you don't have to worry anymore. Welcome to the Microsoft Store, Microsoft Edge Tab Center. We added 2 buttons to the tab band. The first one, with the arrow pointing left, allows you to set aside all your open tabs, so you can pick up where you left off at any time. You can then go to the Tab Center to find each of the tabs into a collection. You can then restore one tab or restore all of them. You can also make them a favorite or share them with others. In my case, I have 4 collections. My first one is about the Clipboard API that I will need for an upcoming project. My second one contains links to documentation that will help me build better websites. The third one is about the extension API. And finally, I have a personal collection. I'm sure you're aware that it rains a lot in Seattle. And this year, oh boy, did it rain. I'm so ready for the outdoor. I'm so ready for some sunshine. So last night, I was doing some research about state and national parks in the Pacific Northwest. At some point, after I found, of course, many, many pages, many tabs open, I realized it was late. So I decided to set aside all those tabs because I knew I was confident that I could get back to them whenever it was convenient for me. So let's restore those tabs now. Those tabs are now moved from the tab center to each of their respective tabs. But as I was saying, I visited all those pages last night. I'm not quite familiar with them quite yet. So just looking at the logo and the title, it's a bit hard for me to know which tab do I want to go to next, especially because they all come from the same site. So we introduced the tab preview. You can now click on the chevron next to the plus sign to see a visual update, a visual thumbnails of each of your open tabs. In my case, I'm looking for the Olympic National Park. And just at a glance, I recognize the page I'm looking for because of the image of the rainforest. Well, I don't really have time right now. Thank you. I don't really have time right now to read further into this page, but that's no problem. I can simply set them aside all over again, and now I can go into the tab center, and here they are. Here's my collection. Well, now that I know where I want to go this summer, I need a book about hiking in the Pacific Northwest. Fortunately, Microsoft Edge supports books now. I can go to the bookstore and shop for books. The Microsoft Store offers an extensive collection of books, from bestsellers, fiction, nonfiction, business, craft, and so much more. There's so many categories to choose from. In my case, I already purchased and downloaded the book, so let me go back to Edge. Now, let me show you how you can customize your reading experience. You can simply click on this button in the reading bar to select your font style, the text size, as well as the text spacing. You can also choose the page theme. In my case, I already made all those selections, and Microsoft Edge remembers my preferences. This is important for education and our students. You can also bookmark a page using the button here. You can also go back to all your bookmarks by clicking on the bookmark pane. You can also visit the table of contents so you can jump from one chapter to another. In my case, I want to go back to one hike that I bookmarked earlier, the Icicle Gorge View Trail. Well, let's say that you are reading, and there's a term you're not quite familiar with. You can simply, with the mouse or with touch, select a word and then ask Cortana. Without leaving the context of my book, I can get the definition I'm looking for without having to switch to a different app. This concludes my presentation about what was delivered as part of the Creators Update. As you can see, those features will help a customer feel more confident, productive, organized, without a fear of losing their progress. Now, let me tell you about what's coming next. As part of the next update, we want to focus on the user experience, an experience that will match Microsoft Edge performance. We will use the new Microsoft Fluent Design System to build responsiveness in the browser. We want to make sure our users feel confident when they are using our browser. So we created many motion studies, and we met with customers to understand better what does responsiveness mean to them. What we want to do is to inject responsiveness into the browser for each of the transition to be smooth when opening and closing tabs. Let me show you. As you can see, when you open and close a tab, it is smooth and quick, and without any flickering. The next area that we are focused on is the frame. Using the new Microsoft Fluent Design System, we want to build a clean and modern UI. To the use of the material acrylic and using transparency, we will bring color to the browser without being overwhelming. That color will change dynamically depending on what's underneath the browser. In this case, you can see underneath the tab preview, the desktop, but it could also be a different window. This will also help our users with wayfinding as they will remember where they come from at any time. The next area that we focused on is the favorites. Most people know that if they click on the star in the frame, they will make the site a favorite. But they don't always know, where do I go next to find all my favorites? So through the use of a very simple animation, we are guiding the user's eye from the favorite to the hub. As you can see, the star seems to do a cartwheel into the hub. This was very well received by our customers because now they know where to go to find all their favorites. The next area and final area that I will present is the button presses. We want to make sure that every time you press on the button, you know that the system registered your request, and you will feel more confident that you will get to where you intend to go. So it's a bit hard to see here on the projector, but every time you click on a button, it seems almost like you're punching through to the desktop, and then it's kind of spring back at you. Again, the goal here is to be very responsive, smooth, and quick, and build this confidence that's so important to our end users. This concludes my presentation, as you can see with this visual update that combines performance and responsiveness. Our users will have confidence that they can be productive and they can stay organized without any fear of losing their progress. We want the experience to be a delightful experience for customers when they are browsing the web and the application and website that you are building. Thank you.
Thank you, Nadia.
Thank you.
So Nadia just showed you the first of our priorities for the next release, which is delighting customers with personality, responsiveness, and design using the Microsoft Fluent Design Language. The next priority we're focusing on over the next 12 months is next generation web applications with native app capabilities. I'll talk a little bit more detail about what that means, but you may have heard of this as progressive web apps. We'll also talk about advancing the web platform with modern web standards and tools. This is really new APIs, new capabilities that browser and web apps can provide. And then finally, doubling down on fundamentals. So we opened talking about fundamentals, and that remains a priority for us going forward. So when we talk about next generation web applications with native app capabilities, or what's called progressive web apps, this is something you may hear me call PWA. That's just the acronym. So PWAs are progressive web apps. This is a term that was initially coined by Alex Russell at Google a couple years ago, and the concept has evolved over the last few years, but really it may be useful if you're not familiar with the term to just think about it as a progressive website. And the reason I say website is because this can be anything a website can be, and a lot of the times when you say web app, it's easy to get lost in, well, is it a single page app? Does it have to be running locally? And really this is not that. So a progressive web app can be any site, it can be anything a website can be, whether it's a shopping experience or a book or a game on the web. But what's the key to a progressive web app is that it's a website plus plus. So it has a couple, oh, my plus plus didn't come. There we go, progressive website plus plus. So it's a website with some key enhancements, and really these are capabilities that are about making it feel native-ish. And when we talk about a website that feels native, a good example of that is we've got this game that the Microsoft Edge team made last year called Flight Arcade. This is just a fun WebGL game you can play in the browser. And in fact, you can play this with touch and with tilt controls. It supports gamepad input. So it's really a fun game on the web. And if you subtract the browser frame, and if you just go into this full screen experience, this starts to feel like just an app. And this, in fact, if you gave this to somebody running on a phone, and they're playing it with the gamepad or with motion controls, nothing about this says website. This is just an app-like experience. And that's really what we're trying to get at here, is websites that are just app experiences. And the language, the underlying technologies are invisible to the user. And you may be thinking right now, well, that sounds like a hosted web app. And in fact, that's actually very similar to what we've talked about as a hosted web app in the past. And you can actually turn a hosted web app into a progressive web app pretty straightforwardly. There are a couple key differentiators, though. So there are 10 characteristics. This is the definition Alex Russell laid out, has 10 characteristics to a progressive web app. And these are the 10 on the screen. The first is that it's progressive. So all these other capabilities that we're going to talk about, they're progressive enhancements to the essential qualities of the web app. So that means that even if your browser doesn't support these technologies and capabilities we talk about, the website still works. It's still a website, it's still on the internet, you can still access it using the browser. It's responsive, so it should work like all the best websites, it should work in any form factor, on any device, on any platform. It can be network independent. We'll talk a little bit more about this, but basically it can work offline or over a poor connection. It's app-like, so it should exist outside of the context of the browser and behave where and how a user expects an application to behave. It's fresh, so you should never have to wait for it to load or hydrate itself when you start it back up. It's safe, delivered over a secure connection. It's discoverable, where you expect to find apps or websites. It's re-engageable by push notifications. It's installable, so it can be located on the system, on the start screen or in the start menu, where you'd expect to find an app and can escape the context of the browser. And it's linkable. So despite all these other qualities and the ability to escape the browser, it still has a URL, it still lives on your servers, and it's still a website. So to talk about how some of these are possible, and you may be thinking, my website can't do all these things, Kyle. To talk about how some of these are possible, we're going to talk about some of the new platform capabilities coming to Microsoft Edge in the future. In particular, we've got a number of APIs, and we really don't have time to talk about all of these. All of these are in development for upcoming release of Microsoft Edge. In particular, CSS Grid Update. This is one of the most substantial improvements to the capabilities of CSS and web design. So CSS Grid is a standard that is rapidly becoming interoperable across browsers, and we're updating our implementation in Microsoft Edge to match the latest specification. So we're really excited about some of the possible website layouts you'll see coming in the near future. We're unprefixing the Web Authentication API, so you can do Windows Hello on your websites in a completely standardized way, and this will be on by default. In addition to that, we're actually supporting FIDO 2.0 authenticators in the Web Authentication API. So if you want to log into a website using an authenticator like a YubiKey, you can do that with Web Authentication in Microsoft Edge. And we're making a dramatic improvement to our investment in the F12 developer tools. So you'll see the F12 developer tools start to light up new capabilities for some of these APIs, as well as an improved fundamental experience with reliability and performance. But I'd like to focus on some of those characteristics I talked about. Let's talk about installable. So how do we make a PWA installable? Well, you may be familiar, there's a W3C standard called Web App Manifest. And a web app manifest is just a JavaScript manifest that lives on your server that describes your app experience. So this is about describing the description, the metadata associated with a website. This is where you'd find a title. This is where you'd find the art that would live on the start screen or in a store description. So using a web app manifest, we can actually go and we can see which websites declare themselves to have an app-like experience, and we can even intelligently ingest those applications into the Windows Store so that we can make them discoverable to the end user. Some of these other capabilities are network independence, being app-like, being fresh, and being re-engageable. These are really some of the characteristics that users expect from a native application. When you start up an application on your phone, you don't expect it to hydrate the UI when you turn it on. You expect the UI to be there. And maybe it has to load in some data, but it's typically up to date. It's typically done its work in the background. So you can do that with a progressive web app, and that's enabled by some new technologies in the Service Worker family. So we have Service Worker in development for Microsoft Edge, and what this is essentially a script that can run in the background outside of the context of the browser. And together with the Cache API, the Push API, and the Fetch API, which is actually already supported in Microsoft Edge as of the current release, the Creators Update, these features allow you to do things like refresh content even while the browser or the app is closed. You can also intercept requests to the network and get that content from the cache if you have a poor connection or don't have a connection. So this really enables you to do things in web apps that create a truly compelling and native-like experience. But what's really exciting about these is they also work just as progressive enhancements to your website. You can enhance your site with a service worker today, and you'll get some awesome new capabilities like the ability to refresh content while the browser's closed. So I can't do this topic justice in the time we have left. I really encourage you to check out this session, learn more about progressive web apps with progressive web apps and the Windows ecosystem. We have Aaron Gustafson, one of my colleagues, who's going to be presenting that at 2:30 today. And that's a really fantastic session. He'll make the sales pitch, and I promise you'll be a believer. He's back there in the room if you want to bug him. So the final thing I'd like to focus on when we talk about the future of Microsoft Edge is fundamentals. Doubling down on fundamentals, specifically reliability, security, and performance. So when we talk about performance, a lot of the investment we're making, you saw some of the improvements Nadia showed you, which are really about details in the browser that will make it feel more responsive, make the user understand what's going on, and make the performance of the browser frame itself faster. In addition, we're doing some work under the hood. So in addition to those improvements in the UX, we're improving background tab suspension and rehydration so that if you have a lot of tabs open, we can save memory and we can reclaim resources and then appropriately rehydrate those tabs for you. We're also implementing a dynamic frame rate, so we're not spending resources animating the whole page at 60 frames per second if it's occluded or if it's not necessary to do so. Some of the features we talked about, like Service Worker, enable you to improve the performance of your websites dramatically. So just by putting a Service Worker in cache on your site, you can actually improve load times by more than 50% in some cases. And you can do things like make sure the content is fresh when the user opens a page. So you can imagine a news page you'd open that would already have the latest headline when you open the page. That improves load times, and it's a better experience for everyone involved. And we'll have a continued focus on power efficiency. So we showed you some of the battery work we have in the Creators Update. That's a continued focus for us, and we'll continue to drive that going forward. We're also going to continue working on security in Microsoft Edge. In addition to enhancing some of the mitigations for arbitrary code execution and the sandboxing in Microsoft Edge, we have an exciting new feature that just showed up in the Windows Insider program last week. This is called the Windows Defender Application Guard for Microsoft Edge. This feature actually lets you, in an enterprise environment, run Microsoft Edge as a virtualized AppV instance of the app that's virtualized all the way down to the Windows kernel. So this really works as a defense-in-depth measure to prevent even zero-day exploits from accessing your critical infrastructure network resources. And you can define, as an enterprise administrator, you can say users, for example, who are browsing outside of a whitelist of safe sites or outside of the CorpNet, they will be in this virtualized AppV instance of Edge and have protection against anything that may potentially exploit the browser. So we're really excited about the potential this to protect customers who care the most about security. And then finally, reliability is an ongoing focus for us. So this is really, I like to characterize our investment in reliability as success by 1,000 bug fixes. There's no single flashy feature or API that's going to solve reliability and make people have their browser running day and night. This is just chasing down every instance where the browser is crashing and hanging and making sure that we are constantly improving. So takeaways. We talked about a lot of things that are coming soon. And really, if there's a couple things I want you to take away from this session, the first is that there are some awesome new capabilities in the browser that you can build for your site. So Edge HTML 15 includes powerful new capabilities for your sites and web apps, things like payment requests and WebVR that you can start building today that are already interoperable across browsers. So we really encourage you to check out some of those sessions and start building those today. In addition, I really encourage you to check out Aaron's session. Learn about Service Worker. You can start putting a Service Worker on your site today, and because it's progressive, because of the nature of the web, it'll be free improvement when browsers support it, and even for browsers that don't support it, you still have a functional experience. The next thing I want you to take away is Microsoft Edge is better than ever, both for users and for developers. So we've shown you some pretty cool improvements that are already in the browser and that are coming, some improved fundamentals. I encourage you, if you haven't used Microsoft Edge in a while, give it a try. I think you'll be surprised by how much performance responsiveness has improved. And finally, the future's bright. There's some awesome new capabilities coming up. Some of these you can start building today. We're really looking forward to what we think is the future of the web with progressive web apps and some of these new technologies. That said, we want to make sure everyone leaves here knowing we're listening, and we like to tell people we're building in the open. And what we mean by that is we're keenly aware we're the only major browser that doesn't have an open source rendering engine. So we have to do a little bit of extra work to make sure that we over-communicate our roadmap and that we're receptive to input and feedback. So in particular, there's a couple tools that we have that hopefully make it easy for you to give us feedback and help influence our roadmap going forward. You may be familiar with our platform status page at status.microsoftedge.com. This is where we show our public roadmap. You can vote on individual features here to improve our priority if they're not in development. You can see what's in development or supported in Microsoft Edge and a number of other browsers. And this is actually open source, so if you see something that's out of date or incorrect, you can even submit a pull request to correct that information. We also have an open bug portal at bugs.microsoftedge.com. So this is a new project we launched last year. This is designed to make it easier than ever to have a direct connection to the engineering team at Edge. And in fact, this isn't some separate database or mirror database that gets synced back to our production. This is actually the Visual Studio Online instance that we use to build the browser. When you open a bug here, our engineers see it. Our engineers triage it, and we are able to communicate with you directly through the bug portal. So if you want to harass us, this is absolutely the best way to do it. And actually, if that's too high friction, if you really just want to file a bug, you can actually tweet with the hashtag edgebug. If you include a reproduction or a reduction of your bug in the tweet and a title, we'll file the bug for you. We have a number of open source projects I encourage you to check out, including Chakra Core, which is our JavaScript engine for Microsoft Edge. This is open source and has actually recently been ported to run on macOS and Linux. And then finally, we're on social media at MS Edge Dev. We like to think we're very open and active. If you have questions, we take direct questions. We try to provide candid feedback. And this is a great way to give us feedback or even just ask us clarifying questions about our roadmap. We do know not all web developers, including maybe some of you in this room, are doing their web development on Windows, or maybe you're on an older version of Windows. So we try to make it as easy as possible to test Edge from anywhere. So we have free virtual machines on dev.microsoftedge.com. We also recently announced a deal with BrowserStack that we're really excited about. So you can actually test Microsoft Edge in the browser through BrowserStack, and they offer the most recent insider preview version of Microsoft Edge, as well as the most recent two stable releases. So you can log in on a Mac or on Linux or on an older version of Windows, and using WebRTC or Flash, you can actually drive a remote control instance of Microsoft Edge without any overhead. You don't have to download a VM. And you can even use this with local testing on your device through localhost, and you can drive it via WebDriver or Selenium in the cloud. So I know that's a lot of resources. The last resource I'm going to mention here is developer.microsoft.com/web. We just launched this today. This is a brand new website. If you remember one URL, this is the easiest one. It's the one to remember. Everything else is linked to from here. So this is our all-in-one resource for web developers on Windows. If you have questions about Edge, about the roadmap for Edge, or about building websites and web apps on Windows, this is a great place to go. And finally, the last thought I want to leave you with is there's a lot of great content around the web here at Build. So we've got a number of awesome related sessions. There's a live breakout session, Progressive Web Apps and the Windows Ecosystem, with Aaron Gustafson, I mentioned. That's at 2:30. There's Developer's Guide to the Galaxy. I believe that's at 12 with Jeff Bertoft in the Code Theater. And then there's a number of recorded sessions where you can learn more about these topics. Web VR, adding VR to your websites and apps with David and Etienne. Payment requests with Molly, Stan, and Jonathan. And what's new in Chakra Core if you're interested in new improvements to the JavaScript engine in Microsoft Edge, including some awesome new ES6 features with Brian Turlson. So that's all we have for the content today. If you have questions, I would open the floor for questions. There's a microphone in the center of the room. I don't think there are any on the sides, or I can repeat your questions. So we'll go from there.
Thank you, everyone.